Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
From Warrior Returns to the backstage heat sent a one-of-a-kind superstar's way. These are all the fascinating things you likely didn't know about the world of sports entertainment in the wacky year of 1997. And before you ask, no, Montreal will not be discussed here. It's time we all moved on, yeah. So I am Gareth, this is What Culture Wrestling, and here are 10 things you didn't know about WWE in 1997. Number 10, a UFC finish to a WrestleMania main event. A far more captivating storyline conclusion to a Bret Hart Shawn Michaels match instead of the real life one everyone remembers. Bret Hart revealed the violence he had in store for their WrestleMania 13 rematch before it was canned after HBK lost his smile. Speaking years after the events, he said, "I had an idea where I was gonna, if you could visualize, like it's like a 30-35 minute match, me and Shawn would have tore the house down with a really great match, and the place is going crazy. Basically a duplicate of the Iron Man match all over again. But we wouldn't go the full hour again. I wanted to do the thing where Shawn was stomping his foot, getting ready to give me the big kick. And I'm in trouble, like I'm pulling myself up from the ropes on the other side of the ring, and Shawn goes to give me that big kick as I stagger over to him. Just like at the Iron Man match. Except this time I would take Shawn's foot, catch it in the air and get him to the ground, and put some kind of chute hold on his foot and break his foot right in the middle of the ring. I wanted Shawn to tap out like they do in UFC, where it's like when they break somebody's arm, they tap out pretty fast, and everyone jumps in and it's a very serious kind of thing. I wanted to break Shawn's foot and then they hand me the belt, and I would have gone over and stand over the top of him and go, F you. A future-friendly finish for the day. Bret's idea of a flash victory would still be a white-hot moment all these years later if it had happened. Not least with one detail he omits from the story. Rumors abounded that the company were thinking about creating a prosthetic attachment to Michael's boot to accentuate the snap. Delightful. Number 9, the births of the triple threat. Though wrestling historians can chart specific instances of three-way matches dating back to the 50s and 60s, they were rare enough during the 1980s mainstream explosion years that they felt like bizarre innovations in the last decade of the 20th century. WWE, as was often the case, was slightly behind the curve here, waiting until 1997 to mimic and or enhance the WCW and ECW attempts from years prior. The triple threat was exclusively a one-fall deal rather than held-to-elimination rules, and 1997 played host to the house show, television, and pay-per-view rollout of the gimmick. Oddly, the only way was down, though. A series of Shawn Michaels, Psycho Sid, Bret Hart's house show matches early in the year were well-received. And if one dark match later released to the public is anything to go by, well-worked. A June Monday Night Raw Intercontinental Championship bout between Owen Hart, Goldust, and Triple H was less successful. The faction leader match between Farouk, Savio Vega, and Crush at Ground Zero in Your House was a botch-laden disaster, too. That undermined all 12 men involved with the feud rather than just the trio in the ring. And after talking about all this triple threat stuff, I'm curious, what is your favorite triple threat match of all time? Throw it in the comment section down below, baby. Number 8, the dead man takes a dive. Superstars might have gone the way of the dodo as WWE embarked on an era that would change their trajectory forever, but the wrestlers themselves were taking more and more risks with their characters in line with the grand philosophical shift. Physically, they weren't afraid to make changes too, and no one wrestler embodied both mindsets more than one of the men that had been there the longest. Undertaker's return at the 1996 Survivor Series was more than just a rebadge in a Batman outfit, and pretend teardrop too. On commentary, Jim Ross was at pains to point out the dead man using a drop toehold and working with a little more pace and poise than fans had been used to over the prior half decade. It all fed into him becoming WWE champion once again at WrestleMania 13. And on the road to the show of shows, he worked to prove his worth with a jaw-dropping new aerial assault. out. The image you're looking at right here, taken from the March 10th and debut edition of Raw is War, saw Undertaker step into and leap out of the war zone with a tope con hero into Vader and Mankind. It was clumsy and clunky, but all the better for it. An out of character move should be. And the Undertaker had never looked less like the 1990 vintage. Number 7, Rob Van Dam's Road Dog Problem. Rob Van Dam gained the awesome Mr. Monday Night nickname from his brief flirtations with WWE in reality and storyline in 1997, but the ECW man went on to stay with the group until its 2001 closure after marking his cards with Vince McMahon. Alongside Sabu, things went south for Van Dam in a hurry. Sound familiar? But mostly because he was bold enough to fight for his gimmick rather than sell it out on a Saturday show. As per Dave Meltzer's Wrestling Observer report from the week in question, both Sabu and Rob Van Dam were apparently causing major problems backstage at Raw. Sabu complained about having to do a double count-out finish with Funk. Van Dam was supposed to have a match with Jesse James on the Shotgun Saturday Night taping, where Lawler would interfere and cost him the match. Van Dam complained that him losing to James would be like Bret Hart coming to ECW and losing to one of their jobbers. Unsurprisingly, this led to a ton of heat being sent RVD's way backstage. Lol. Van Dam wasn't wrong, but as far as the WWE higher-ups were concerned, he'd lost the argument and a potential job.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Before we go any further, though, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, we all carry around different stressors. They can be big life worries or just, you know, little things like your favorite wrestler not being used properly. The thing is, when we keep them bottled up, it really can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. It is really helpful too for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. Therapy basically empowers you to be the best version of yourself. So why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and best of all, suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/whatculture today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, help.com/whatculture.
Number 6, the truth behind the commission. The truth commission were a rule-proving exception when WWE went faction daft. After the Nation of Domination had helped Farouk briefly reach top-line status in mid-1997, Savio Vega and Crush were given their own splinter groups, with Los Barracudas and the Disciples of Apocalypse respectively. The year ended with D-Generation X ruling the wrestling world, taking credit for running a Hart Foundation stable out of the company that had, up until November, helped elevate babyface rivals up and down the card. Coincidentally, it was Bret Hart that opened the door for the ill-fated Truth Commission. The Hitman met actor Robin Smith during a South Africa tour and helped him get a role as the Commandant, a caricature heel leading a rebadged USWA outfit featuring Recon and Kurgan alongside Sniper as a supposedly dangerous new force. Though Kurgan's size and menacing expression ensured that Vince McMahon would at least give him a few tries, the same couldn't be said for a faction failing to inspire. The former Mantor was briefly installed as the Masked Tank, and and the Commandant was replaced by a fast-talking Don Callis in his breakthrough role as the Jackal. But the die had been cast. The group were done and dusted in early 1998. And cheers for watching this video today, folks. If you like what you see, go and tap on that subscribe button down below. Number 5, the first wrestler to appear on Raw is War was Psycho Sid. And why not? The company needed the master and ruler of the world as much as he needed them. And as WWE champion before handing the gold off for good a few weeks later at WrestleMania, it was an example of the company putting their best foot forward. Raw is War launched on March 10th, 1997, as one of several major changes the company made in an attempt to polish up a product that was getting badly battered in a ratings and perception war by World Championship Wrestling. WWE required a wholesale reboot, and from the first segment onwards, it was clear the changes were going to be more than aesthetic. Sid opened the show questioning if he could trust The Undertaker ahead of their Show of Shows match. The two forged an uneasy alliance to fight off Bearer's men to close out this segment, leaving plenty behind for the evening's main event. Number 4, a royal replacement for Stone Cold Steve Austin. Having spent years as bitter rivals in WWE canon, it was quite the jaw-dropping turnabout from Jerry Lawler when he started favouring newly minted heel Bret Hart in the summer of 1997. This, as with most things the King did for the market leader, didn't really count in Tennessee, or at very least only counted with the Hitman himself. In local markets, Jerry was the eternal babyface hero in contrast to any of the local heel threats and all those he opposed on WWE television. As a result, he worked a unique match as effectively a fill-in for none other than Stone Cold Steve Austin the night before WWE pay-per-view Ground Zero in your house. At that show, Austin and Dude Love surrendered the tag team championships due to the devastating neck injury sustained by the Rattlesnake against Owen Hart. 24 hours earlier though, Dude and the King defeated Owen and Davey Boy Smith in a best-case scenario house show make good. In the weeks that followed, Lawler was one of several company figures Austin hit with the stunner as he convalesced. For one night though, he was the audience's surrogate for the industry's fastest rising star. How strange. Number 3, the original Mike Tyson idea. Or to be more specific, the original Mike Tyson idea from that era. Tyson was set to appear for WWE in 1990, guest starring as an official for a Hulk Hogan-Randy Savage Saturday night's main event match as the organization continued to ride the wave of their late 1980s momentum. He never made the February 23rd showdown though, because his recent rival did. Buster Douglas had shocked the world and defeated the baddest man on the planet and got this guest spot instead. 8 years later, shock wouldn't quite capture the full range of emotion around Tyson. Banned from boxing, having bitten Evander Holyfield's ear on June 27, 1997, Iron Mike was a golden opportunity circus attraction for WWE to court for WrestleMania 14. But this event could have been binned had he accepted Ken Shamrock's out-of-nowhere challenge for a fight on an April edition of Raw. The world's most dangerous man was there to pluck his pay-per-view debut against Vader the following month. But with the Mastodon still sequestered under house arrest in Kuwait for assaulting a breakfast television host, the world's most dangerous man targeted another famous fighter instead. Nothing came of the call-out, of course, and the two terrifying ships never had another chance to pass in the night. Number 2, the end of an era. Prior editions of these lists have bid fond farewell to some of the voices that brought to life the very best and worst of the market leader during the 1980s. But 1997 saw the end of the show that hosted so many of those moments. Since 1986, WWE Superstars, formerly Superstars of Wrestling, had played host to some of the biggest matches and angles in WWE in between their increasing pay-per-view schedule. Monday Night Raw's inception in 1993 had relegated its importance, and the show's increasing irrelevance and WWE's fall from grace resulted in Superstars losing its syndicated spot and becoming nothing more than a recap show in the United States from March onwards. As is often the case, the show that came in like a lion went out like a lamb. The last episode aired on March 9th, featuring matches taped from the company's recent tour in Germany. The final ever main event saw Ahmed Johnson score a routine victory over Leaf Cassidy. And that was that. Number 1, the return of the Ultimate Warrior. Again! Seemingly unthinkable after their most recent blow-up less than 1 year earlier, the extent to which Vince McMahon was still willing to rely on the Ultimate Warrior as late as the winter of 1997 is genuinely shocking. Not least because he'd literally just told Bret Hart he didn't have the money to keep him around. Unthinkable until it was leaked in 2014 was that McMahon still believed a champion who had failed to replace Hulk Hogan 7 years earlier would be a better fit to rival the Hollywood heel version, not least with an unstoppable Stone Cold Steve Austin on the rise, as revealed by a contract offer made to Warrior in December 1997, a 5-year deal at $750,000 per annum guaranteed were the terms. That accounted for the 14 days per month he'd be needed for, alongside an attractive merchandise merchandise package. It wouldn't have worked, probably shouldn't have been offered, and couldn't have been further away from where the company was going. What a weird old year, eh? Did you enjoy this Things You Didn't Know About WWE in 1997 list? Then go and check out this 2002 version over here. Bye-bye!
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com